1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 31, says, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for them. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from his flock, from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' Then Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, but he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off, and then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. And his sling was in hand, and he approached the Philistine." Let's bow our heads and pray. God, I thank you so much for being able to, these past weeks, study and learn from the example of David and the words that Samuel wrote down, Lord, concerning this epic battle between David and Goliath. I pray that that you may speak through me today, Lord, that you may increase as I decrease, that you may step forward as I step back. And in the words of the psalmist, that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable within your sight. In Jesus' name we all say together, amen. So chapter 16, it ends with David's new job. He's playing the lyre for Saul, who is now being tormented by this evil spirit because the Spirit of God left him when the Spirit of God came upon David. But that's not the only job he has. He also has another part-time job that we know about, which is tending to the sheep. Now that's interesting. Once someone is anointed the next king of Israel, instead of being a hotshot and everything, his dad says, "Yeah, go back to the flocks." That's exactly what we see here, that he has these two part-time jobs of tending to Saul and tending to the sheep. But adding to this, Jesse, also his father, Jesse, employs him to be a liaison between between Jesse and his brothers who are off at war, that whenever David goes to play for Saul, that he would also send word to his brothers and bring him food. In this case, in this passage, he's bringing them some cheese sandwiches to see of their safety. And this is where the text, where we kind of see where we're at here. We're introduced right at the beginning of 1 Samuel 17, and if I had more than 30 minutes, maybe if I had 2 hours, as Dave Williams joked with me yesterday, then I can preach through this whole chapter, but it's a big one, so I encourage you guys to go home and read it. But Goliath is introduced to us, and he is this massive man, over 9 feet tall. He's wearing armor that weighs over 130 pounds, and his spearhead alone is about 15 pounds. Just the spearhead alone. And Goliath is standing in front of the armies of Israel, and he's hurling these insults. He's hurling insults and saying, "Man, if you guys came out here and you guys aren't going to fight, then why'd you even come out here?" He's saying things like, "I refuse and I defy the leaders of Israel." And he even goes on to call the soldiers of the army of Israel, not soldiers or servants of Israel, but servants of Saul. See, Goliath challenges Israel and says, "Your best can come out into the battlefield and face me. If your best wins, then we'll retreat. If our best wins, then you give us Israel." And what we see here is that this is truly embarrassing for Israel because this lasts for 40 days and no one comes out to fight Goliath. And it's embarrassing because the sovereignty of Israel hangs in the balance. And David hears this and says this. He says, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" We see here in this passage as well that Saul, after hearing these things, instead of being provoked to anger because he is profaning the very name and nature of God, is sitting in his tent afraid and terrified. See, what we see here is that Saul hears Goliath attacking the sovereignty of Israel and is dismayed, but David hears Goliath attacking the sovereignty of God and he is enraged. And this sets up a contrast between David and Saul that we see in verse 31 to 33. Let's read that again. "And when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.'" What we see is this could easily be a callback to the sermon that Jeff preached last week, as David doesn't look at the stature of a man as Saul does. Saul says, "David, if I can't beat him, then you would never be able to beat him. He's big, you're small, he's smart, He's big, you're small, you're a youth, and he's been fighting since he was a youth." See, David seen Goliath and said, "He is an uncircumcised Philistine that is standing in defiant opposition before my God." See, David didn't become intimidated by the big, scary giant, because he knew the truth that the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4, verse 4, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. This is the same good news that the great theologian named Junior Asparagus sang. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. Now, just to add some context here, Godzilla is actually, the original, was 164 feet tall. So you can only imagine what Junior Asparagus thought of Goliath. See, this boy king knew that if he was indeed filled with the Holy Spirit and indeed given the promise to rule by God, that he would have to exude patience and faith in order to inherit these promises. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12. See, I was going to title this sermon, "The Unfair Fight," not because David was small and Goliath was big, not because David was a youth and Goliath was probably in his prime years, but because David had the Spirit of God and Goliath didn't. Truthfully, Goliath didn't stand a chance. And David knew that it wasn't his fight to fight. That's what we see in verse 34 to 36. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him with his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.'" David, as a shepherd of the sheep, knew that he had to rise to action to defeat any potential prowler of the sheep that came its way. And David equates himself again here as the shepherd of another flock, only this time Israel is that flock. See, though he respected Saul as king until King Saul's very last breath, one could argue that this is David's first kingship action. That he could have easily called out Saul and said, "Saul, this is your job. You're supposed to face Goliath, and you're hiding and crying in the tent." But he didn't do any of that. No, he didn't. He spoke with humility, saying, "I will go out to battle this Philistine." But he knew one thing, that one will be going before me. That's why he can say in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And that's a beautiful thing. And what we see happen next is Saul gives him his blessing and says, "The Lord who," and Saul tells him, "Go and the Lord be with you." And then it says that Saul goes and tries to clothe him in his armor. And he says, "Well, if you're going to go out there and get killed, at least look good doing it." And Saul clothes him in this armor. And David just says, "This looks ridiculous. I don't need this stuff." And he goes out, and the Bible says that as he's walking towards Goliath, what does Goliath say? He sees a boy coming to him, and he says, "What, am I a dog that you send a boy with sticks to come after me?" And I love what David says. You guys can look at it here. It's in verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a sword and a spear." Man, that's beautiful. "But the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." See, what we see here is that David ought to remind us of another person that we've read and sang about today, and that is Christ. And this is nothing new. We should see this, right? But more often than not, we are reminded of ourselves when we think of David. We think of ourselves as David as we try to put ourselves into the picture. And what we see here is that we are not. Even Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way." However, David calls the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." But we have this tendency to think, "I need to face my own giants." And the good news for us today is this, is that we are not the giant slayer. That's the truth. We could be the best stone slinger in the world. We can be armed with 1,000 smooth stones from the brook. But every time we hurl those stones, we're going to miss. See, and we see that in our lives, we do face many giants or many issues in our lives. I think of certain issues that are in my own life, financial instability, thinking of the next semester of me paying for school. Some of us here may have been let go from a job or are searching for a job. This is a very real issue. Other people here are going through marital issues or parenting issues that spouses can't see eye to eye on. These are real issues. There are even political issues that have divided our own family members, thinking of the holidays that has just passed us and the very uncomfortable conversations we had at the dinner table. But God, as gracious as he is to us, has gifted us with a church. A church that lets us know that these issues and these problems are not me problems, but they're we problems. That we can come together and see these things. That's why concerning financial issues, we as a church have decided to start a mercy fund. We have, as a church, have decided to be available for counseling, to be available for in discussions on race and on immigration. And we need to take heart that the biggest giant that we have ever faced in our life has already been defeated, and that is sin. See, I am convinced that a great politician can rise from the ashes and implement great laws to help figure out immigration reform, but this will not stop the hatred of immigrants and disdain for foreigners. As a matter of fact, it may even intensify it. See, we know and we hear of great men and women that have fought and are still fighting to see racial equality and harmony. Tomorrow, we will remember a man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King, who not only fought but died to see racial equality. And that fight continues. We see David in this passage, after defeating Goliath, could not defeat the Philistines. They still continued the fight. As a matter of fact, spoiler alert, I hope, in 1 Samuel 31, Saul actually dies at the hands of the Philistine. But here's the good news, that when Jesus went to Calvary, he didn't go with the sword or with the shield or with a helmet. When Jesus went to Calvary, he didn't come armed with a sling and a few stones from the brook. No, he went to Calvary empty-handed, ready to die with a promise. A promise that we hear all throughout the Gospels. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. A promise like, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. A promise that says, for this reason I have come into the world, that I may lay down my life for the sheep. See, the problems we face are real problems. Whether it's the things that I have listed or problems that you are met with here today, I am reminded of two young women that were just shot at North Riverside Mall last night. I am reminded of them, and I'm thinking of not only the problems they're facing, holding on to dear life, but the problems that their family members are facing. These are real problems, and they cannot and should not be downplayed. See, we are indeed inhabiting a broken world. And what this passage tells us is the same God that meets David, whether in the field tending to sheep or on the battlefield, is with us in the midst of all our brokenness. May we take comfort in the words of a dismayed, tormented, and frightened king in the tent. The Lord be with you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, I thank you for your word. I pray that this may be paramount in our life and true, that in the midst of trials and tribulations, that we may know that in the fighting, in the toil, and in the pain, that there is one who goes before us, and his name is Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, today and the rest of our week, as you have been with us for the rest of our lives, God. In Jesus' name we say, amen.